Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The following is a paid program.
All right, good Saturday afternoon, everybody. This is Rich Orris here, your host of Right at Home with Rich, talking about your house. We got 1 hour here to go over everything. You want to get in on this conversation? We're going to have some great ones today. Give me a call, 314-241-9797. Got a whole list for you today. Of course, we have our Stefanina's gift card giveaway. So when you call in, leave a phone number where we can reach you at. And we will pick one lucky listener, and you will get a $25 Stefanina's gift card to Stefanina's Italian Pizzeria Restaurants. Great food, great pizza. Get their Steph special. So give me a call. Get in. Get your chance to win that. 314-241-9797. Got a lot of things we can go over today. Got a lot of great topics for you. Got some stuff on windows I'd love to go over. We've got open floor plan. Wanted to touch on that last week and got so busy with the calls. I want to bring that back to you. Got some great stuff. Got my Rich's Right at Home hacks for you today in the middle of the show. And choosing a remodeler, also a great, great conversation to have. So I want to get this started. I want to get into some things. But if you want to be in on these conversations, feel free to give me a call, 314-241-9797. So I wanted to start out, though, with a couple things happening this weekend actually, Eric, I heard you guys talking on Eye on Health about the Groundhog Day, the
sure.
Punxsutawney Phil
yeah.
thing. And, you know, it really kind of struck me that you guys were talking about how likely is it that he's right or not. And, you know, I was kind of curious the history. If he's only picked the early spring, this was the 19th time.
Yeah.
So how has he been right? Is anybody tracking this thing?
Well, and I learned, I didn't realize this because I don't wake up and watch the groundhog thing. I always thought it was the shadow, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He sees the shadow, doesn't see the shadow.
Yeah,
apparently it's nudges a scroll.
Yeah.
When did that start? I feel like there was a material change somewhere here.
Yeah. And so the big question that, and I ended up taking a phone call, so maybe you guys touched on this or not, but the big question I came up with is, how old is this groundhog?
Good question. You know what? That's Googleable.
133 years they've been doing it. I looked it up.
Yeah.
So was he in his teenage years? So he's
right,
like around
right.
150?
You got to think there's, maybe what it was the original groundhog worked on a shadow basis.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just couldn't find another one that was quite the same.
Phil said, I'm not digging the shadow thing.
Yeah.
I'll pick a scroll and we'll see. We'll see how that works. So, yeah. So, when you call in, let us know if you have any idea how old Phil is, because or how long does a groundhog even live? It was kind of cracking me up listening to it that it's kind of amazing to me. But, and so we also got the Super Bowl thing, which, you know, I got to say with the teams that got in there for this Super Bowl, I'm super stoked for Maroon 5. And I think it's going to be a great halftime, and hopefully the commercials are great because I'm not really that into either team that's going to be trying to win this thing. So it's kind of flipping a quarter for me on who gets that.
Have we ever, do you know what my Super Bowl philosophy is?
No, what's that?
It's been, this is about 5 years running. I try and avoid finding out any material information about who won or even who's in the Super Bowl as long as possible. Now, I've already found out who's in it, which makes it tough, but it was tough to be in St. Louis and not know at least half that answer, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But then I go on like a media fast Sunday afternoon and see how long before something just pops up and blindsides me. Like, gosh, I know who won the Super Bowl. usually I make it somewhere between 36 and 48 hours. But
wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That's everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. But groundhogs live on average 6 years. So I'm thinking we're on Puxtawneyville version, you know,
like
at least, 50 something.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, thanks for looking that up there. Let's get to the phones. We have Gina from last week has a question for us. Gina, what do you got going on?
Oh, I don't have a question.
Uh-huh.
I think he put me on the wrong phone.
Okay.
Last week.
Oh, I see. Last week's
week,
winner.
And then you announced
you didn't get a call?
No, I'm kind of embarrassed to be on the phone right now because I thought he was just checking on something to get back with me. But you announced that I won a gift card.
Yes, absolutely.
I didn't hear anything. So I thought, well, I turn the show on every week. I thought, well, I'll just call back and see if I did.
Well, I got to tell you, I apologize for that. And
no worries.
I totally remember now that I see the name that I picked you out of the hat last Saturday. So I thought I turned everything in, but I'll get back with them, and you will absolutely get a call this week. And we'll get your information and get that mailed out to you without a doubt.
Oh, okay.
All right. And did you guys, have you talked to your mom? Are you guys making any decisions on the dishwasher or any thoughts on
what
to do with the floor?
You know,
this is my favorite hour of the week, so I do what I can.
Well, that's what you usually say. So after I got off the phone with you, I went over to their house and they actually had someone out there taking some tiles out. And I'm like, that's the exact wrong thing to do. But that is what happened. So they got the dishwasher in. The dishwasher wasn't functioning, so they're waiting for another dishwasher. It's been quite eventful, but it will get figured out.
Yeah, yeah. So I appreciate that. I appreciate you calling back. I actually, you know, we're all human, and I've actually had one time where I got a call from another listener that they mailed them all the information and all that, and they actually forgot to put the gift card in the envelope. So they got like information on me and the company, and he was like, yeah, I got all this great stuff. And he's like, so I got your information, so I thought I'd call you. And he's like, but there's no gift card in it.
Hey, that's so, okay. Life happens.
Yeah, life does happen. And so we'll definitely get with you this week, and we'll get your card to you.
Okay. Now, the person I spoke to before you, he just said, let me put you on hold and check. So he didn't take any information from me.
Okay. Well, we should have your phone number that you left from last week.
Okay.
So I turned that list in, but if you don't mind, let me see if I can get Zach back on the line. He can take your phone number again, just so we make sure we didn't lose that piece of paper.
Okay.
All right. Great. Thanks, Gina.
So
thanks for listening every week. I really love it.
That's a first in all my years here at 97.1.
Yeah.
Getting a winner's collections call on the air. that was accidental, of course. It's poor Gina to get stuck.
Yeah, I should have read the question a little
well
more.
Well handled, but, Rich. For amateur radio host, you did that exceedingly well.
Awesome. Great. So why don't we do this? We'll try and drum up some more calls, and why don't we get into our first break here? And we'll get to some of these topics when we get back. And jump in on it with me, 314-241-9797. As a crowd, there's always all right, here we go. Welcome back. If you want to get in on this, join the conversation with me. Like with Gina, we'll talk about anything. We'll get it figured out. So phone lines are wide open, 314-241-9797. I do want to remind everybody that we have our first seminar of the year, actually next Saturday, February 9th. It is all about kitchens. So And we do these throughout the year. So if there's a topic you're looking for, I'm telling you, we'll get to it. We'll do bathrooms. We'll do exteriors, basements. We'll basically hit these throughout the whole year. So, but next Saturday, February 9th, kitchens, it's at the Missouri Athletic Club West. It's at 10:30 in the morning. Doors will open up around 10 o'clock, 10 after, something like that. And if you want to get in on this, if you'd like to learn some information from us, from Mosby, and from some of our designers and architects and that, you know, you could check out our website. You can register there at callmosby.com, or you can just call our office and let them know, too, that, you know, you'd like to attend that and how many people. We'd love to get a head count of people showing up. So 314-909-1800 is our phone number to just call in and register for that. So great seminars throughout the whole year, and we'll eventually hit the one year after. If you're looking for something in your house, we will get to it. So keep listening, keep your ears on, or go to our website, and you can find information on the list for the whole year at callmosby.com. So, so I want to get into the first thing we'll kind of start on is the window thing here. We've been talking windows quite a bit, and, you know, with it being negative 6 degrees 3 days ago and 55 or so and going to be like 60-something degrees tomorrow, just days later, you know, it's coming back. We'll get cold again. I know Phil said it's going to be an early spring, but we're going to have some snow and some cold and some things happening in between there. And, you know, windows are a topic for any kind of energy, heat, cold. And I want to kind of remind everybody, too, with the windows that when you get into an extreme like that, minus six, and extremes that we don't see real, real often here, you know, to see some condensation on your glass, to see a little moisture on the inside when you're getting to that, you know, low of a temperature, really is, I don't want to call it normal, but you got to look at all the things that play into how that happens and that temperature difference. You know, when you think about what makes a snowstorm and what makes weather happen, you know, you got the warm and the cold and you got it mixing, and then you got relative humidity, you know, coming into play. So, you know, like I just saw a client where they were actually having some, you know, condensation on their windows, but it's happening in their atrium area, and they actually have plants in there, like actual live plants, and they water these plants like once a week, and so there's like this watering system that how they water it. And, you know, I kind of guided them towards, you got to watch humidity level, and this may be an area that is very, very hard, like a greenhouse, you know. It's very, very hard to get away from humidity when you've got the plants admitting, you know, humidity and taking it in and letting it out in vapor, and, you know, you've got all this stuff going on. So for that to happen, you know, it hadn't happened in like 8 years or whatever, but for it to happen when we're getting to like negative six, like below zero every now and then, it's not super, super uncommon, you know, to actually have that happen when it gets that bad. But it's about that relative humidity and the temperatures and the different things going on. So when you're looking at, you know, putting in new windows and you're looking at, you know, when do I need to do this or why do I need to do this? And of course, my biggest topic is, you know, what's the proper way to do this? What's the best way to install, you know, a window? So as far as looking at, you know, so when, what am I looking for? You know, when is it time when you're looking at, you know, the glass? Is it fogging up? Is the glass sagging inside the frame? You know, that's when you know that glass is actually starting to go bad. I had one this morning that, you know, inside that glass, there's rust on the metal of that insulated unit. Then, you know, those are the signs to kind of look for. Yeah, what's, you know, when is it really becoming time? Are there broken components, springs, locks? How do they operate? That is a big thing, you know, to look for on when should I get into this? So when you look at it, you know, you want to go to a higher quality window. Inexpensive, low grade materials, you know, really won't last and will probably end up costing you more later on sometimes if you're going to, you know, it's a big conversation. Are you going to be around? Are you sticking around? How long are you going to be there? I had another one I was looking at that we got out the IR gun when it was the infrared gun when it was real cold and everything. We're kind of looking at it and they got newer vinyl windows, but they're just a lesser grade. And so they're playing into some of that energy loss, and you can see the temperature that's coming in around the window from the lack of insulation, and you can see where it's coming in around the corners of the windows from the lack of a sealing ability. How well do these things seal up? And unfortunately for them, it was kind of like, well, these windows were only like 8 years old or something. And I'm like, well, the issue you really come about is now upgrading to that better window probably isn't going to give you enough of a return. If you're looking for how do I lower my energy bill, it's not going to lower it enough to justify the cost of replacing windows that are 6-8 years old. It's just not. You got to look at, you know, that decision is going to go to comfort, not energy bills, stuff like that. So that's why that conversation always goes to what are you doing? How long are you going to be there? You know, stuff like that. But it's definitely, we advise, get to a higher quality window so that you don't have, you know, little issues like that going on. And as you're looking at the type of window, you think about, you know, warranty. Think about the warranty of a window. What should you be looking for? What should you ask about the warranty of a window? Well, when you hear lifetime warranty, sometimes that's not always created equal amongst all warranties. And sometimes the laws that govern different states and everything, they have laws in there that kind of limit stuff like that. So Missouri's is like a 15-year, you know, warranty on cabinets. So when a kitchen or a bathroom cabinet says lifetime, Missouri has something in our statute that says the lifetime of a cabinet is 15 years. So that's what that means in our state. California, excuse me, is much, much less than that. So when you're looking and you hear great warranties, lifetime warranties, sometimes there's more to even think about and read kind of the fine print of that. But so when you look at window warranties, tempered glass, you know, does a window warranty cover what we call sudden explosion or glass breakage in tempered glass? Because there's with temperatures and changes and things, there's this thing that happens there of it just basically bust out and explodes. Does a warranty cover labor? Not many actually do. So there's where you find that good quality company. Response time, you know, how does that work with the warranties? The company longevity in a warranty, how long has that window manufacturer been around? Are they really going to be around to back that warranty? Is it transferable is always a great thing. You know, the average homeowner lives in their house for about 7 years. So can you transfer that lifetime warranty to another owner? And then glass breakage is another newer, you know, big one for window. A lot of window manufacturers, you live on a golf course, rocks, kids playing baseball. Does it kind of cover all that, you know, stuff in that warranty? Some great questions to ask there about that. But really, for myself, when you look at putting in windows, it's about the installation process. It's about how does that happen? What type of insulation are you using around it? So not only using low expansion foam insulation around it, but applying it to the right depth so you get an air gap space. A lot of people don't even know what that means or understand that or have been taught that in even, you know, how to install a window. But really the biggest thing and the first question is what's on the outside of the house? Vinyl siding, you're going to want to strip that off, get in a new construction window and really flash that properly and put that siding back on. That's going to be your longest lasting value, you know, installation process to that. There's other tricks with, you know, fiber cement siding and stuff where you can, and especially if the house already has a house wrap, where you just take the trim off around it or you cut around it bigger add trim, but that gives you the space to do your flashing and your head flashing and put that trim back, and you can protect that window from air infiltration and leaking. And of course, brick, you can do the same thing with brick. Doesn't happen often. You can take brick off, flash it right, and put it back, or that's where your regular pocket kind of, you know, installation comes into play, where you're just fitting it in between the bricks, caulking it in, and that caulk is your defense against water. Keep your eye on it, you know, for leaks and stuff like that. So, hey, we're getting into our hard break here, but get in on this, the great fun and the conversations with me. Give me a call. I'm here for you for 30 more minutes, 314-241-9797. Hopefully I'll talk to you in a bit. I don't mind you coming here. All right, we are back. Wasting all my time. I don't mind you coming here. You will not waste my time. Get in on this. I got a lot more I want to go over, but I also want to help you out, the listener, and see what you have. So give me a shout, 314-241-9797. And, you know, I want to remind everybody too, you know, information on me, you can go to Facebook, just search Rich Orris Mosby, and you'll find my professional kind of Mosby page there. If you want to add anything to this stuff, or if you have any ideas, or Twitter, Rich Orris, just look that up and, you know, tweet me something if you got a hack idea or any questions or anything. We can definitely get information there and talk about, you know, things that are high priority topics for you. We can get them into the show, and we can just help everybody is what we're looking to do. And speaking of helping everybody, I want to remind you to get in on the Stefanina's gift card giveaway. I promise I'll get it in there, and we will contact you, and we will get that gift card out to you, and just like we'll get Gina's out to her this coming week. So call in, leave a phone number, and we will pick a winner of the $25 gift card. So, and then we'll call you next week and get it out to you. So, but to no further ado, let's get started now on Rich's Right at Home Hacks. So this one's going to feel kind of wrong for today, but I want to remind everybody that 3 days ago it was -6, and it could be that way in the next 3 days for all we know. You know, and looking at that, you know, talking about how they figure the weather and all that stuff, I think they're only good for 3-4 days. I think they're really, you know, they can only forecast that out so far and be extremely accurate. So, even though Phil said early spring, get ready for some cold weather. We know it's going to be ahead. So my hack today, removing snow and ice from your deck. And there's a lot of people that really just have to keep their stuff neat, have to keep it clean. It's kind of the way that they just are wired as a person. So when you're looking at removing snow from your deck, you want to definitely avoid any kind of aluminum or metal-tipped snow shovels on wood or on any type of PVC or composite. You know, they actually make, and I've seen them where there's like a rubber or a nylon strip for the end of that shovel. So you can, you know, when you go to the store, you're going to find a lot of metal. But if you go online and you look for these rubber or nylon-tipped ones, there's some great ones for just pushing snow, and there's, you know, some rubber tipped ones and stuff, so you won't harm that deck material with a some kind of blade. And you always want to push the snow with the grain parallel to the board, with the grain of the board, and that will help not get a lot of marks and scratches and all of that. You never want to go cross grain with that. Use a broom to sweep everything off, because you don't want to have puddling afterwards, and you want to kind of get everything off there. So sweep with the direction of the grain also is a big deal. And then if there's ice, if you're looking to get ice off there, and, you know, sometimes this is your front door, so you kind of have to get, you know, if you have a porch that's wood or something like that, you have to kind of control that. So we're going to recommend, You know, the ice melt we recommend is going to be the calcium magnesium acetate. It has the lowest corrosion rate. It's safe for plants and pets because the thing you got to think about is the metal of the deck. Even if it's a wood deck or a composite deck, you have metal joist hangers and bolts and things holding this together. And all other types of ice melt is very hard on wood, and it will also corrode those hangers and nails and screws and fasteners of all that metal. So you want to use that type that's very, very safe. You do not want to compromise your deck and have it become unsafe because of, you know, years of using this ice melt. And, you know, one thing we want to make sure is that everyone out there has a safe deck and you're doing it properly. So that is Rich's hack for today. I know it's kind of warm today, but that cold's coming again. So I was kind of playing into that, you know, what happened this week. And hopefully it's some great, useful information for you. And if you have any ideas on some hacks, or if you have anything you would maybe like to know or learn about, like I was saying, try my social media, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. If you search Rich Orris or Rich Orris Mosby, you're going to find plenty of information on me, and tweet me, do whatever you can to get information to me, or, you know, any questions that you have out there. So speaking of questions, we've got Brenda on the line, has a question about home warranties. So we'll jump here with Brenda. Are you with us, Brenda?
Yes.
All right. So what do you got going on for us today? Thanks for calling.
Well, I've seen these commercials about the home warranties for the furnaces and so on and so forth. I just wondered if they're worth the money.
Well, you know, they can be, and it really depends on, they'll be more beneficial as your home is older than as a newer home. And if you're getting towards the end of the life, you know, of your water heaters, furnaces, and you know, items in the home like that. So the thing that I am kind of uncertain on with these home warranties, and my sister carries a home warranty, and she absolutely loves it. So it's about, you know, the age of your home, how often you might end up using that, and then how do you work as a person, and how do you like having that kind of comfort knowing that you're kind of protected like that, even if something doesn't happen? But the thing that I don't like about them is trying to find people to work on them. A lot of times it's like just a service technician, or, you know, you don't have the ability to find somebody that you want or that you like. It kind of takes that, you know, I've got somebody I trust or know or has been recommended to me out of the equation, because there's only certain people that will work on them. And that's been another big part of why I'm like, you know, I trust the people I work with. I know they do good things, and I don't know these other people, and I don't know that the warranty company is using the same due diligence on picking these people as I may.
Yes.
So that's kind of where I go for it. So if you take the money that you'd spend, and if you can discipline yourself to set that aside and save for when you need something like that, it might work out pretty close to the same in the end.
Well, my house is 10 years old, and I don't think anything's ever been replaced.
Mm-hmm.
My knowledge.
Yeah.
So
you might be getting, you know, you might be getting closer to a state where that might work out well for you, because, you know, water heaters are on average, they say about 12 years, you know, life expectancy, you know, 10 to 15 or something. Furnaces are in that 15-year, you know, kind of range too. But so it's kind of about risk and timing of when does this all happen to you? Because these home warranty companies make money. So it's not like, it's necessarily cheaper to just have it, you know, so it's, but you might be in a place where it might work really well for you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that call. And that is a good, you know, question that doesn't, that one doesn't come up a whole lot, you know, talking about those warranties. But, you know, it's kind of like with the car is the same way. It's like you buy that extended warranty, but a lot of times you rarely use it or you don't need it till you're like way so far into it that if you would have, you know, set the money aside, and I've actually done it myself years ago where I had the warranty and then I figured out, okay, I spent $2,500 on this extended warranty and I ended up having some brake issues and stuff that it covered that would have cost me like $900 or $1,100. And I'm thinking, so if I'd have just taken that money and set it aside the whole time, I could have fixed my car and actually saved $1,500 or whatever it was. So they're just, you know, they're making profits and they've got it set up to earn money. So there's, it's not always the best thing out there, you know, so it can be about timing. So Eric, I think we'll get into our final break here. And if you have anything about that, or if you have any experiences with that type of stuff, feel free to give me a call, 314-241-9797. All right, we're back. This is the last segment. We will have time for a call or two. If you want to join me here, give me a call, 314-241-9797. Get in on the Stefanina's gift card giveaway. Leave a number, and we will contact you next week, and we'll get that $25 gift card out to one lucky caller as we pick here at the end of the show. And I do want to remind everybody real quick, too, is that seminar we have next Saturday all about kitchens. Get yourself in on that. You can go to our website, find information about that, get registered for it at callmosby.com. You can call our office, 314-909-1800, get registered for it. All about kitchens next Saturday, 10:30 a.m., February 9th, and it is at that Missouri Athletic Club West, and doors will open up around 10 a.m. to get everybody in there. So I think what I want to jump into here, because this is almost like a near and dear to my heart thing of how to choose a good remodeling company. What should you be looking for, asking, and, you know, what gets you there? We've got a blog on this like about a week ago. You can find that on our website also if you want to get into depth information about this. But, you know, how to choose a remodeling company, there's really no better question than that, I feel. When you look at the remodeling industry, you look at how tarnished it can actually be. You look at what remodeling companies are known for of, you know, significant cost overruns, major project delays, delivering poor quality, not meeting, biggest one for me, not meeting expectations of the client, not communicating properly, not having everything written down, and just, you just don't get what you thought. Imagine looking at a bunch of vehicles and then you buy one and you find out after you got the loan that it only came with three tires and there's, you know, well, we got a change order for that fourth tire. You know, we didn't realize you'd need all four. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff like that. And on the extreme for remodeling, we have, you know, just people, companies, owners behaving just criminal action, unethically overall. Hopefully that's, you know, one of the more rare things. But I got to tell you, when you look at it and you think, well, when's the last time you heard about something like that? Well, Chris Negus had a story on January 17th of this year about someone, you know, getting sentenced 60 months in prison and more charges on the way for not completing work, not paying subcontractors, wire fraud, all this different stuff. So it happens more than we'd like to admit and more than it should, for sure. But most people are just uneducated and just don't run a, they don't all run a really great business. So the Better Business Bureau receives more complaints about remodeling companies than any other consumer industry out there. It is number one. I almost hate to admit that, but it is. And that's why we try and do things you know, so much better and so differently. But it is, you know, it's just the biggest complaint out there. And it's, as far as an industry, remodeling is really cut up into different types of companies. There is just under 800,000 companies that do remodeling in the United States. Only 100,000 of those companies across the entire country have actual people on payroll, you know, employees, things like that. So when you look at it, you know, we kind of analyze four different types of companies. You know, you've got like a single person kind of contractor. You've got small contracting companies. You've got a larger name brand type of company like Mosby Building Arts. And then you've got your boutique kind of contractor, your, you know, really high end, really expensive kind of company. So when we look at these different kind of companies, what do they have in there? That single person, you know, contractors, not going to have any employees. The owner, this was the company that I had years and years ago. You're the salesperson, you do the bookkeeping, you do all the projects, the project management, and you're the carpenter that gets everything built. It was a lot of hats to wear, you know. So when you look at it, this can work well with people that have very limited budgets and like to do a lot themselves with picking and shopping and finding things. But the downsides can be work being done on the side, a lot of delays, huge communication gaps, cost overruns, just due to inexperience in, you know, running and managing not just jobs, but a company. A small contractor, they may have a few employees. They will typically subcontract most everything that, you know, carpentry, specialty trades. The owner will still, you know, have multiple roles usually in a company like that, that kind of salesperson, designer, and, you know, project managing projects. Some of their, they'll be a little more expensive because they'll have some overhead from office people helping and different things like that. This isn't a horrible thing. This can actually be good, you know, and paying for a business to run well and stay in business could actually be a benefit to you. But there can still be, you know, some of the downsides of the lack of experience. You can still have the cost overruns, all of that. When you get into a name brand company, a larger company that has a lot of facets for figuring out everything, probably has, you know, like Mosby, architects and designers on staff. You know, the owner is going to be in a leadership role over a lot of different people that have their own control and task. It just seems to work, you know, way better. There's still going to be some, you know, some downsides of you're potentially definitely going to have a higher presented price up front, but one that doesn't come with a lot of cost overruns and everything. You can get miscommunications because of a lot of people in the company needing to try and communicate, and we're all just human in how we do all that. So that can, you know, be an issue there that comes about. The boutique contractors, the real high end, the owner is usually a designer or an architect. They still try and do multiple roles in getting through that. You can definitely still have a really high cost of how that's done, but it's again back to all subcontracting and really taking, you know, a lot of time and can have a lot of delays, sometimes based on the designer stopping the project to make changes and, you know, really get what someone's looking for. But you can have a lot of communication breakdown when all that happens and everybody's a subcontractor, you know, between the owner, the homeowner, the designer, and all these subcontractors, you know. So you really got to look at, you know, how would you choose something like this? What criteria are you looking for? You know, there's goods and bads to all of these models, and what are you really after? And include your budget in when you're thinking that, you know. But you definitely have to think about what kind of risk tolerance do you want or have? What are your schedule needs? If it takes too long, would that be okay with you? You know, can you get through that? Because maybe you're with someone where your budget's lower. But do a lot of research. Check the Better Business Bureau. Check online. Talk, my main thing, talk to your family and friends. go through all of that. And finally, you can set up some appointments and just see how people work and respond and all of that. How do they get through it? This could be the big picture there that really shows you, are they going to be worth anything in the end? You know, and so in the end, go with your gut absolutely on every decision that you make like that. So we are running out of time here, but I did want to pull this out and say Brenda here is our winner for today. So Brenda will get that gift card. And, you know, we had a great time. We'll get that gift card out to Gina also. And just want to remind everybody, make a positive difference in other people's lives every day. And I will talk to everybody next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.